Now, being the fourth Wednesday of the month, it's time to talk to Sydney McLeish. Now, she couldn't come in the studio, and I did have her on the screen, but I'm not sure. Are you still there, Cindy?
I am still here.
Oh, righto. You just disappeared off. Ah, there you are, back again. I wasn't sure whether we had you or not. Cindy, you weren't able to come here because you've been doing something special this morning. Do you want to tell us all about it, please?
Well, you know, the role of an MP is really quite different. Every day brings about, you know, a whole lot of different things to be racing around doing. And this morning I was at the Australian Vietnamese Women's Association Annual General Meeting.
Yep.
And it really reminded me about the sense of community. And in 41 years ago, there was a handful of women who got together, decided that they needed to support their communities as they've migrated to Australia. Yep. And I believe next year it's 50 years since the end of the Vietnam War and when the migration started.
Yep.
And so they realised they needed to help and all of the community members to support them, people coming out, to blend into Australia. And it's still probably no different to new arrivals, whether they're migrants or refugees, the work that needs to be done to, so they understand, you know, what a Vegemite sandwich is and a meat pie and the footy. But other than that, to know how do you get work or what do you do and where do you go and where if you need help, you know, and the police are okay and all this sort of stuff.
Yep. Cindy, would they have come into a hostile sort of environment back then with the Vietnam War just finishing and not long finished? Do you know where they came? Was it a hostile environment?
Look, I don't know, Alan, that it was. I was just talking to one of the ladies who started it, and she was 40 herself at the time, and I asked her if she's gone back. She's 82 now.
Yep.
And I said, you know, have you gone back to Vietnam? And she said, I fled Vietnam. I was scared. It was horrible. So I think for them it was probably a real sense of relief.
Yeah,
being here.
Good point, yep.
And, you know, they got a grant for $200 and now their balance sheet, they've got equity of $22
million.
In 40 years. And, you know, it's the Women's Association and they've got offices in, or services out of Richmond, Springvale, Braybrook. The Footscray place got too busy, so it went to Braybrook. And now they're, I think, going to Thomastown. So they've, you know, really got the city, the north, south and east.
Yeah.
The north, east and west. So, you know, it was really amazing listening to a lot of them talk. And, yeah, there was a bit of singing and a little bit of dancing and stuff like that. Not your average AGM.
AGM.
Yeah, I'll be going to Hickey's AGM on Sunday. I'm sure that's not going to be. There won't be line dancing to Boney M. But, you know, it's really difficult for people navigating, you know, a new country. And I go to the citizenship ceremonies in the Yarra Ranges and we have, you know, a lot of people still from the UK who sometimes people have been here for a long time.
Yep.
But you do get quite a number of Burmese and Afghani communities coming out into the outer east. And,
yep,
you know, it makes you think about the work locally, you know, that it takes people a while to get their feet under the table and work out what they can and can't do. And, you know, I guess I was talking to, I was in Narre Warren the other day and I was talking to a publican from Cranbourne.
Yeah.
And it's a very high, you know, Indian subcontinental community.
Yep.
And, you know, the Indians come and have a counter meal and they'll all order a Parmigiana. You know, because, you know, they've been here a couple of years. They, you know, they're going out, they're having a counter meal, they're getting out and about. And, you know, this is what you do at a pub, you know, like, most pubs would sell more Parmigianas than anything.
Yep, I'd agree with that. So they sort of assimilate well, don't they? Like not only into the community, but also into the culture as well.
Yeah, but look, it's hard and it's challenging, and you know you see a lot of the cricketers will just have their own little competitions on a weekend, a social competition that if there's this free oval and it doesn't matter if it's in the summer or the winter, you know, like the community groups will take it over and do. And play their own sport. But, you know, this was pretty good because it was the Vietnamese women and the need then is probably, you know, the same as it is now, slightly different. But, you know, they're having to move and help provide mental health services as well, and that's something that all communities are facing. And they talked about post-COVID, the big issues that it's been for them.
Yeah, because it's affected every sort of person in some way, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly has.
Cindy, we've got to talk about 150 years is a terrific celebration. And you've been to a celebration for 150 years.
Oh, they're coming out left, right and centre, Alan. the sesquicentenary is 150 years.
Oh, is it?
Yes. So a couple of weeks ago I went to the Alexandra CFA. They had 150 years.
150 years for Alexandra CFA.
Well, yeah, and it was interesting there actually because they were talking about the history in the old days, you know, and the lack of communications and the big old bell that was erected, you know, in the 40s next to the library. But you probably can remember. I remember it in Yay, you know, like someone would be ringing the fire bell.
Yep.
You know, before all these things became a bit more automated. But they had marching bands and they participated in competitions. And the CFA competitions are still on, and I think there's one on Sunday, actually.
Terrific, yep.
But, you know, they had some of their old vehicles on display and the knapsacks, you know, like they were tin.
Oh, they were just... How hot would they have got?
How hot and how hard would it have been? And there was one thing at Alex that they talked about. They'd got 47 or 54 beaters. And, you know, this is what they were putting fires out with. You know, I assume that they were leather straps or something like that, that you just beat and whack the fire ground.
I thought they were something like Hessian bags, actually.
Oh, they could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have to have them wet, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And that was the trouble. They keep drying out. You're actually wetting them.
Yeah. So you know, it was interesting, and there was a lot of talk about a merry-go-round at various points. And all the CFA brigade members now are going like a merry-go-round. You know, and you know, the brass band would march up the street, or the marching band, you know, would be up the street, and all these sorts of things. So that was the first of the four sesquicentenaries that you know. We've got happening at the minute.
I want to talk about another one, Cindy. I've just got to take a break because I'd like to talk about the Wiri Alec Primary School.
Absolutely.
We'll just take a quick break and we're back with more.
When I wake up, well, I know I'm going to be the man who wakes up next to you. When I go out, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. If I get drunk, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you. And if I heaver, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who's heavering to you. But I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more to be the man who walks. I'm gonna be the man who's working hard for you. And when the money comes in for the work I do, I'll pass almost every penny on to you. When I come home, I know I'm gonna be the man who comes back home to you. And if I broke, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who's going over you. But I would walk 500 miles and I I'm gonna be the man who's lonely without you. And when I'm dreaming, well, I know I'm gonna dream about the time when I'm with you. When I go out, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. And when I come home, I know I'm gonna be the man who comes back home with you. I'm gonna be the man who's coming home. I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more to be the man who
talking to Cindy McLeish, and she's our local Member of Parliament in the State Parliament. Cindy, are you still there?
I am still here, Alan. I'm not going anywhere.
No, I thought something fell down because there was a bit of a funny noise on the line. Cindy, I can't imagine what Alexandra would have looked like 150 years ago. And I mean, the CFA now have got all their communications. In those days, when they went out to fight a fire, no one would know what was going on, would they?
Well, that's right. People didn't know. And I remember growing up, you know, Dad was a volunteer firefighter and he'd be gone for weeks and, you know, a couple of weeks and you wouldn't know where he was. There was, you know, the phones weren't there. There was no mobile things. But they had an incident in Alex where the main street essentially burnt down and I think there were 14 chimneys that were left.
How long ago was that, Cindy?
I think in the 30s maybe.
So the whole street basically...
It was even longer than that actually because it might have been one of the reasons that they, you know... like in the really early, maybe not. Anyway, it was a while ago. Wasn't recent.
and most of the main street burnt down.
Yeah, you know, keep in mind that, you know, it wasn't like it is now. No. But if there were 13 chimneys left, that's probably what was, you know, how many dwellings were lost.
Sure. All right. But the Warriara Primary School, they're celebrating 150 years too.
They did. They had a big celebration on Sunday.
Yep.
And loads of people, but they were also celebrating, you know, pretty well the opening of the new school. So half of the school's been completely...
Yeah, they've done a lot of building works there, haven't they?
Yeah, significant. And it looks terrific, actually. And the kids, you know, love it. And, you know, some of the attention to detail that localises it is along the corridor. In one side's glass, which is really nice and bright, but the other side's got the bike trail from Lilydale to Warburton.
Oh, yeah.
It's got the elevation, so you can see where which towns are really high and which towns are really low comparatively. And, yeah, and it repeats it a couple of times. But I thought, yeah, that's a really nice attention to detail. And they've got, you know, some certain patterns and that you can see, you know, in the sun and then outdoors. The use of, like, the big, heavy, I don't know if it's mudstone or whatever, kids to sit on. In the playground, which looks really good, and it's really practical. So,
and it blends in with the surroundings too, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it does. You know, and the hall is much more functional now than it was. New toilets and things like that, and the kids all seem really happy. And the school students that took me around were as confident as anything.
It's terrific to see that young people like that, isn't it?
Oh, look, Miller, Molly, and Tyson were the three school captains.
Yep.
And they spoke without notes and they all did a couple of sentences each and then they'd go back, you know, like, so they spoke for a little while.
And no
but
notes.
They told me yesterday that they'd practiced for a couple of weeks. They wrote they'd practiced it, but it was really lovely. But one of the former principals, Danny, he'd photographed a plaque on one of the original bikes. And this is, it's really quite funny. This marks the site of the tent which served as the first school in Woorialik.
A tent? Is that on the site, part of the site that's there now, Cindy? Do you know?
No, it's moved. It was near Schoolhouse Road in Woori. But the tent was 16 foot by 12 foot by 7 foot 6 high. So that's reasonably high.
That's reasonably high.
But, 16 foot by 12 foot, and it was erected at... £14 raised by public subscription.
Oh, so the public, was it on a farmer's land or?
Yeah, well, it is now. Yes, I think it was. The school was operating in 1872 and attended by 15 children. And it was 2 years later that the education system took over and these schools that had been operating were registered with the Victorian government, which was... Yeah, in 74.
So until then, they were just more of a community school, were they?
Yeah, and there were quite a number of them. But in the January of 1873, so it's been going for a year, 18 families signed a letter to the Education Department to provide a teacher and place the school under the government regulations. So this is when it was all happening. So there had been a teacher that was charged... she was there and she was age 23, but the families all paid... a shilling per week per child.
To pay her salary.
Yeah. And so then in 1874, the school was proclaimed And so, like, a new teacher arrived to teach 24 pupils in the tent, which the education department leased from the parents.
Van Ingen, genius.
Van Ingen.
History, isn't it?
It's great history. So at a cost of $1 a week, the education department had to lease the land and the tent.
But and it would be an experience for a 20-year-old lady to be out.
Yeah, well, it was a bloke who was a, the first one. Was
oh, a bloke, was it?
23-year-old, right. And then there was another, a man. I don't know how old he was, but then in 1876, so that was only a few more years on, the derelict tent. So it had 44 students then, so it had doubled in a, you know, in a couple of years, the size. And then it was replaced by a prefabricated building on 5 acres and Church Road, which is the Wurrialik Farm School. And it's school road at the back there. But isn't that such great history?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the sort of history you don't want to lose, isn't it?
No, no, you don't want to lose it at all. And it was Danny, you know, who was a former principal, Heinemann, who he said he's got that photo from the farm that, you know, where it is now. And I said, look, you've got to send me that. You know, it's really too exciting. But, you know, in the old days, Wurrialik was the spelling had changed a couple of times too.
Because
Yalloak was Yalloak, Y-A-L-O-C-K, and I think it's Running Creek. Wurrialik means Running Creek. So it's an Aboriginal name. But even the spelling of things changed a couple of times.
Unbelievable. Cindy, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Sure.
Was the Pointer Sisters and Fairy Tale. But Cindy's not telling us about some fairy tales. Cindy, there's a couple more 150 years and 130 coming up.
Yes, there are. So as I said with the schools, you know, in 1874, when the education department took over, you know, running of the schools and making it free, there must have been a whole bunch of schools at the one time that were all came on board. And locally, Christmas Hills, just out of Yarra Glen, they're having their 150th on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And exactly at the same time is Merrijig up near Mansfield.
Oh, yep.
So these are communities where, you know, they would have been, you know, families wanted to teach kids to read and write, and, you know, it started to formalise things a little bit more. So I'm heading to Christmas Hills on Sunday or Saturday, one of the days.
Yep. As long as you know on the day.
Oh, it's in the calendar. I'll be there at the right time.
Yep.
But Yarra Junction Primary School, yeah, they tend to celebrate every 5 years, and they've got their 130th.
Gee.
On coming up in November.
So it would be lovely, and if there was a book written about all these schools, wouldn't there? And also about the CFA up in Alexandra.
Well, that actually brings me on to another topic, because local history grants are available at the moment. In fact, I should probably encourage some of the schools and fire brigades to, you know, when they've got these big events, because they've actually done a lot of the history. People have gone and found it, but it's about how they present it and what they do, what it looks like. Some people, like at Woori Alec, they had a couple of different versions of, not versions, but editions of their history.
Yep.
You know, one a long time ago, one less. They also had time capsules, actually. And if anyone puts in a time capsule, make sure you record where it is exactly. Yeah,
that happened to Dan in the high school. They put one in and now they can't find it.
Exactly. And that happened at Woori. They had one. They knew where one was.
Yep.
And apparently there were three. And they think perhaps that the building's on one of them.
Oh, no.
But, you know, someone will find that in 100 years when they knock this school down. And they think there's one out in one of the car parks. And a parent said, no, I was at school and this is where, you know, a former student, this is where it was buried. So great idea, because the kids really love to read. And I think it was only 40 years. It was in the 80s that the time capsule was put in. But, you know, in 40 years, the kids' handwritings and some of the stuff that they did hadn't changed terribly much. But it was fun to watch. But, you know, it's good to record your history.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, some of that stuff between you were talking about the CFA and down at Woori Alec School and that, I mean, some of that stuff in another 50 years, if it's not written down soon, it'll be lost. Not because it'll get lost, but because people won't know where to go and find it.
That's right, and also record names.
Mm.
Because, you know, we've got this, the ARSL had a photo of a group of soldiers, maybe 10 or 12, and they only knew who some of the names were. And I looked at that one on the wall and I said, we've got that photo at home. And so I went home and asked Dad, and there were two people, no one knew who they were. But, and this happens all the time, you know, there's different history groups. You know, the Upper Yarra have got a history group and Hillsville have got a history group, that they're always looking for names. And it's a good, you know, we take a photo and we don't think too much of it these days. You know, you pop it up, but, you know.
Now, that's a good point, isn't it, really? That's a really good point, because you take the photo and if you don't put some names to it, in 50 years' time, oh, I don't know who that was.
Yeah, yeah, you might remember the prominent people. But they had, at Woori, they had an enlarged photo. It was really, really large. It was probably 2 foot by 2 foot sort of thing. Mm. And the clarity was brilliant.
Was it?
And, yeah, but there were no names. And someone said, I recognise that face. You know, it could be a parent, a grandparent of one of the kids. You know, and in the old days, you would have written it on the back.
Yep.
But now, you know, so many things are digital and you really don't record the names. I know when I save a photo, I don't write the names of.
No, I don't either.
You know, but it's the history. And so I suppose when you're doing, you know, your history, you need to keep that in mind. And there's various ways you can do your history. Sometimes it's framing old photographs. Sometimes it's recording interviews with people. And they did that actually at Robbie Heritage's funeral. Robbie Heritage had an enormous funeral in a couple of weeks back. And they had an interview that they'd recorded with him, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. And he talked about the history, and it was really interesting.
Yeah, and that's been said before, that very often people don't do anything like that, and then in later life that's lost, isn't it?
Yeah, and look, there's grants around. You know, it can be a few thousand dollars, and it can be to transcribe things. And I've heard of cases where somebody's recorded interviews with a whole lot of old people and they've sat on cassettes, and so they needed to get them transcribed so that information isn't lost, or that sometimes it's in a whole lot of different places and it gets recorded into one place. That's and Yarra Glen have done a great job at the football club, the way that they've presented their history. They had a clutter of a whole lot of old photos and different things, and they got a trophy cabinet to make things look good. But on the walls, they had it professionally digitised and put together in a way that looks like, you know, not like large paintings, but it's not a whole lot of little things all cluttering up the wall. It was just really, really nicely done. So when you get a local history grant, there are lots of opportunities available for how you might like to record your history. And they're available now, I think maybe even till the start of December, or the grant process.
Oh, good.
So, you know, if people are out there thinking about it, you know, it doesn't matter where you are. It's across Victoria.
Get on to it. Cindy, we'll take another quick break and we'll be back with more.
Sure.
Talking to our local Member of Parliament, Cindy McLeish. Cindy, they had a big weekend down at Sunday, was it? A big day down at Millgrove on Sunday.
They did. I scooted down there after I left the Wurrialik 150th celebration. And they had the community open day down there. And there seemed to be quite a lot of people. They had music and entertainment, loads of things for kids to do.
I think they had the CFA down there talking about fire preparedness too, didn't they?
They did. They did. CFA and SES are always looking for volunteers.
Yep.
And they have the CFA have a demonstration with the smoke in a little tent.
Yeah, it's so terrific, isn't it?
Yeah, to show the kids to get down low in smoke so you can breathe.
Yep.
Yeah, the SES were out there as well, and the community group had lots of different groups. Land Care were there that were available to talk to people about different issues and things like that that people have. And you could buy stuff because it was the market is on at the same time. But, you know, they had loads of activities for the kids. And they had music. They had a stage, and so people could... There were different musical acts and things. That was really good. And the Residents Action Group, and I've said this a lot, do so much down there to bring all of these people together and make things happen.
And it's people doing it for people, isn't it, rather than governments or anything doing it. It's just the community doing it for the community.
That's right. And Millgrove looks, you know, a real picture every time you drive into it.
Yep.
The gardens look great. The surrounds. And, you know, they've improved it with the memorial. There's an Avenue of Honour that's been there maybe a year or two, a couple of years, I think, perhaps now, that they've done, which is good. And they'll keeping clean around the river. You know, there's river walks and things like that. And they want it to look good. They want people to come to Millgrove and say, geez, isn't this a cute little place? Isn't it neat? And, you know, get out there and walk along the rail trail, sit into the parks and have something to eat, or walk along the river. And it's got to look good.
It's got everything there too, hasn't it, at Millgrove? There's some terrific scenery there.
That is, and they've, you know, got the bakery and the ice cream shop as well. But, you know, the volunteers do a lot of the weeding and the maintenance around the river so that it does look good, so it is maintained. And they'll have working bees, and, you know, like when you get weather like we are now in spring, you get a little bit of sun and a bit of rain and a bit more sun, and then the weeds and the grass are growing.
Don't they?
In equal quantities.
Unfortunately, it happens to all our gardens too.
Certainly does when you're not looking.
I just got to take
another. They continue to do a great job, and it's good to see the CFA and the SES out there, because it doesn't matter where you are, we rely on them. You know, if a car runs off the road, the SES will be called out. The CFA, obviously, for fires and things like that. So there's lots of times we rely on them, but they're only as good as, you know, the volunteers. And if they, you know, the more volunteers, the better that they can respond. And I guess I didn't mention with Healesville, one of the things that they have, was at their dinner the other night, the CFAs, they were 130 years too, actually.
Sure.
They recognise people for the number of turnouts that they've done.
Do they?
So, you know, if you've done 3,000, you know, or newer members might have done 40 in a year, but, you know, over 10 years, that 40 is 400, and over... You know, 20 years, it could be 800, it could be 1,000. And people put in so much time and effort. And when you look at it like that, and I think that's a great way to recognise.
I think so too.
The amount of effort.
Cindy, I've just got to take a quick break. I want to come back because, believe it or not, you were talking about the CFA. I've written something down. I want to talk to you about that.
Sure.
Back to you in a couple of minutes.
In
That was Human Nature and Dancing in the Street. And I'm talking to our local MP, Cindy McLeese. Cindy, you were talking about the CFA and the SES, and you know that I think they all do a fantastic job, and they're all volunteers, and they get dragged out all times of the day and night, and they all have to go to work again the next day. Cindy, but one of the things I was going to talk to you about, people can't just rely on the CFA. With the summer period coming, you can't expect a red truck to come rolling down every street. We all need to take some sort of responsibility for our own properties, don't we, as far as getting them ready for the fire season.
Absolutely, because someone's not going to knock on your door to say, listen, you need to get out now. Like, sometimes that might happen, but when you've got an emergency situation, we've got to get people there to the fire to put them out. We need people to be looking outside, looking for smoke, knowing what's happening in their area. It's really important.
Yeah. And going back even further than that, we need to get rid of a whole lot of bits of junk that are hanging around the house outside, you know, leaves up in the spouting and old bits of trees that have fallen down up around the house and they've just haven't been moved away. We need to share some of the responsibility and have the property ready, don't we? You can't rely on that red truck all the... They'll do their best, but they can't be everywhere at the same time.
That's right. Long grass, it'll dry out quickly. You know, it's around our house. We need to slash, and the wood from the wood fire, you need to move it from the deck. Yep. So you don't have a fuel load right at the back door. Little things like that. And as you said, with the leaves, one of the things that I heard at a CSIRO briefing, and it was about wind, and notice where the wind blows all of the leaves and things like that at your property. Mm. Does it blow them towards the house, or does it blow them away from the house, and to have them cleaned up? And, you know, I thought, gee, that's interesting, because you'd end up with a fuel load, you know, right at your back door quite easily if you're not really looking and thinking about it.
And the other thing with a fire, and we don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but the other thing with a fire is that it can spot kilometres in front. If you've got 100 kilometre wind, or even 80 kilometres, can pick up cinders. Like, it doesn't just drop them down the road. It can drop them kilometres away, can't it?
That's right. It can drop them in your backyard just as easily. Mm. And if you're not vigilant, and, you know, and it can happen because you might not be home.
Yep.
You never know.
Cindy, we've got about 3 minutes left to go. Is there something you want to leave us with? Because I'm ever mindful, our next meeting in November will be the last one for the year, won't it?
Oh, gosh, doesn't that go quick?
Yeah, it has. This year's gone very quick.
Well, who doesn't love a teddy bear's picnic?
Oh, I love teddy bear's picnics.
And yesterday, Siri ran a teddy bear's picnic down at Yarra Junction.
Was that yesterday?
It was, and there were lots of stall holders, and there were lots of little kids and kinder groups that came through, and kids just with their parents, you know, with their mums or dads or nanas or both combinations, yeah. Taking the kids out for the morning, getting them to do colouring in. There was playing with different types of Play-Doh, and they had badges. You could make teddy bear badges, and Una were there with some rice bubble activity, which was kind of interesting. there's a couple of food activities, but and lots of teddy bears and the drumming, you know, the Wesburn drummer, the local guy from Wesburn who does the drumming was there, and the African drumming.
Yep. I interviewed Siri. In fact, they were on before you, the hour before, and I was trying to get some of the teachers to take their teddy bears and that. Did they?
There were a number of teddy bears, and I had two teddy bears.
Did you? Oh, yeah, I can see. Are they new ones, or are they ones you had when you were a girl?
No, well, actually, they're not mine. One of my staff members, Liz, is she knits.
Yep.
And I didn't have my teddy bears with me. And she knits, and so she'd made little outfits for them, and she sells them at different things. You know, different stalls. I think she was at Wandon at the field day. So
one of my daughters,
she brought them in and I had them.
One of my daughters has got a little teddy bear that she was given when she was just a little baby. And she's carted that little teddy bear all over the world when she's travelled. In her backpack, he's always in there. And when she gets to a hotel, wherever she is, she feels at home when she pulls teddy bear out.
How little is it? My daughter left hers at home.
Oh, no, this is probably only about 5 inches tall in the old measurement.
Oh, okay, a really little one.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost like this little one.
Yeah, and at times she has his little head sticking out the back of her backpack.
They've got to be able to breathe.
He's been to, well, she was in the Solomon Islands working and she's travelled quite a bit and he's travelled all over the world with her.
Well, there you go, kids. Any parents or grandparents listening? if your son or daughter or grandchild's got a little teddy bear, they can take it anywhere. It's not going to take up too much room in their backpack. But, you know, it was good on Siri to do this and to get families out and about as well and talking to people and have different community organisations there on hand to talk about different things. So
it's a terrific they have it every year, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Cindy,
bowl season as well.
So bowls coming up.
You know, it was at Yarra Junction bowls at Yay at Warburton. And there's been a whole bunch of bowls activities going on.
And they're all starting for the new season.
They are indeed.
Cindy, unfortunately, I've got to go. Thank you for your time again. We look forward to talking to you next month. But as I said, that'll probably be the last one because by December, probably nine of us are going to be very interested in sitting talking about what's going on in the world.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Look, thank you for your time, Cindy. And certainly, look, I'd be encouraging some of those groups to write some of these books. I think some of this history is just too good to be lost. We just don't want to lose that. So if you're involved with a group and you could do it, why not try and get one of these grants?